Reading for this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. It's a familiar text, so I invite you to maybe listen for something you haven't heard before. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out of Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed Egypt. The whole congregation of Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because the Lord has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the morning, meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for the Lord has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat. In the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there was a surface on the wilderness, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for having me here today in this capacity. It is an honor to be here. It's an honor to be here with you in this capacity because you guys amaze me. I am constantly in awe of the beautiful, faithful, committed people in this church. We as a family are grateful for our church's work for justice and peace in God's world. I have always been grateful for your support, for joining hands for justice in Israel-Palestine. And then there is the work in Haiti and Guatemala, the work at Stewart Detention Center, the support of El Refugio, the witness about gun violence, and the list goes on and on and on. And all of these efforts have smart, committed, capable people behind them. But I want to thank you for something else, too. You've shown love for our family from the second we walked in the door. Before we even joined North Decatur Presbyterian Church, the Vardamans came over to bring sweet gifts for us on behalf of the church after Cora Ann was born. A prayer shawl from the Nitwits, of course, and a Desmond Tutu book of children's stories. Sweet, sweet people we had not even met yet brought us lovely dinners. When we had a miscarriage a year and a half ago, those who knew surrounded us with love and prayers and food. Again, of course. And of course, a prayer shawl from the Nitwits. And when John Benjamin was born in January, once again your love and support rained down upon us. So thank you for all of that love. We as a family are forever grateful. And forgive us, please, for not getting thank you notes out yet. There is no excuse, but we have definitely been in the treading water mode for the last 6 months. To use a basketball analogy, it feels like we've been playing man-to-man full-court press 16 to 24 hours a day. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a central part of our lives. That is why I say it's an honor to be here in this capacity today. I also want to tell you something else, if I may let you in on a little secret. Preaching terrifies me. I've done it hundreds of times. It still scares me to death. Partly because of what we're called to do. Stand here as limited, fallible human beings and try to proclaim the word of God. If we take that role seriously, with self-reflection, that should probably scare us all, right? One of the most well-respected professors from Columbia Seminary from a generation or two ago once told me, the day I'm not scared of preaching anymore is the day I'm going to stop doing it. And that's how I feel about it too. But also more embarrassingly, I must admit, it's because I, like most people, tend to care way too much what other people think. Anybody else do that? Anybody else do that to the point of letting the other voices around us, even the imagined voices, not even the real voices, keep us from being the people God calls us to be? Keep us from hearing God's voice? I do it all the time. The funny thing is that most of the time when I do it about related to preaching, the text for that day calls me back to what is true and important. Similarly, when I was working on my ordination exam for Old Testament exegesis, we had to translate the Hebrew and interpret what it says and do a sermon outline, and we had a week to do it. At that time, I wasn't scared as much of what people think, maybe what the graders thought. I was scared of failing and having to do it over again, after all the work I'd done. And I was near panic attack mode. I remember it was late one night when I was working on it. The deadline was fast approaching, and I could hear the clock going tick, 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 tick. And for some reason, I heard the text that I had been working on all week long. For the Lord has given the early rain for your vindication. The Lord has poured down for you abundant rain. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And it clicked. And I trusted and I finished. Because somehow, in spite of myself, the text spoke to me. Our text for today is one of those texts as well. It is a text that reminds us of who we are and who God is. It is a text about life in the wilderness, one which I think most of us can probably relate to. The Israelites are in the wilderness, the desert, and they're starving. Their kids are even starving. And they're growing angry at God. No, really, hangry, as the title says. You know, when you're hungry and angry, you're hangry. And most likely, they were terrified. Have you been there? Have you been there lately? I have, for sure. Every day when I hear the news, it feels like we are deeper and deeper in the wilderness. When I hear about another casualty from gun violence, deeper and deeper in the wilderness. Another executive order, deeper in the wilderness. Another shooting of an unarmed African-American male, deeper in the wilderness. Another report about a friend's cancer, deeper and deeper we go. Another addiction, another suicide, the wilderness grows darker and deeper. Another day in this exhausting endeavor called modern life, when the babies won't stop crying, and the work never seems to end, and the soul grows hungry, even hangry. You know what I mean, right? So many of our modern first world problems are of our own making, I'm sure. But unmaking those problems is easier said than done. Our current wilderness that we and many of us are in, it's called parenting. Did I mention when the babies won't stop crying? Oh, the wilderness of parenting. Many of you have made it through this wilderness, experienced both the beautiful gifts and the challenges of it. This wilderness is new to us, and it is truly amazing some days. Yet longest days, fastest years, does describe it well. The hardest job you'll ever love does describe it well. The wilderness is vast at times, and there seems to be little bread and less water some days for sure. The unknown lands are scary, to say the least. When the baby's crying and there is no milk, or in the middle of the night when the fever is high and the puking won't stop. Unknown, scary lands. The wilderness is all around us, as far as we can see. It was that way for the Israelites, too. There are other unknown lands that terrify us besides parenting and current events, though, right? Aging, when the body aches or no longer works like it used to, when we need to take the meds but we can't even read the bottle to check the instructions, when the doctor's report is bleak, when the medicine we really need causes awful side effects, and they want to give you other meds to treat the side effects. The wilderness is all around us. The wilderness can be terrifying, and that was the world of the Israelites. But they have a very specific fear that is central to this text, that they will soon perish because they don't have enough to eat, that they and their kids and their livestock will starve. And in the very next chapter, that they will perish because they have no water. They're scared that they don't have enough, that God won't provide what they need. Can anyone here relate to that fear? I know that I can. Now, they aren't worried about excess or about just wants. They are starving and need food, and they need it now. And they are starting to lose faith that God will provide. I started to say that they had lost all hope, and then I heard the voice of Walter Brueggemann talking about the Psalms of Complaint. I remember him saying once that the psalmist's bleakest prayers are still based in hope. My God, why have you forsaken me? Based in hope. Why? Because if there was no hope, the psalmist wouldn't have wasted the words. Have you brought us in the wilderness to kill us all with hunger, they said. They voiced their raw, unfiltered complaint to God. They don't even get around to petition. They don't even get around to asking for anything. It's like they are cut off in mid-sentence, as if Yahweh, their covenantal God, couldn't wait to respond. And respond, God does. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. In the evening, you shall know that it was Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord. Because Yahweh has heard your complaining. Did you hear that? The promise? In the evening, you shall know, and in the morning, you shall see. They were given meat to eat in the evening and their fill of bread in the morning because they complained and because Yahweh heard. Moses and Aaron tell the whole congregation to draw near to the Lord. And as Aaron spoke, the people saw the glory of the Lord in a cloud. And once again, Yahweh spoke to Moses. And once again, they were reminded. For it seems like they are a lot like some of us. Yahweh said, again, I have heard, you shall eat, you shall have your fill, you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Friends, we are no strangers to the wilderness. We have known it many times, and many of us know it now. But the promise of this text is wilderness taming. For there is one who is greater than the wilderness, and it is the covenantal God who hears and promises and feeds. And we shall eat, and we shall see, and we shall know that the wilderness will never be the same again. Take and eat. Have your fill. Not one little pinch either. Have your fill. Because that was the promise. Amen. Let us pray. Have you brought us in the wilderness to kill us all with hunger? Have you? For we had plenty to eat before you brought us here. Plenty. Plenty of bread. Plenty of meat. Plenty. Have you brought us into the desert to kill us and our children and our source of food with thirst? Have you? We are here, O God, in the wilderness. We are hungry and tired and scared. We are here, O God, in the desert, and we are parched and weak and withering and afraid. For ourselves, for our children, for the very ones who depend on us. For we have never seen a place like this, and tomorrow seems bleaker than today. The chaos here is immeasurable. Why? 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 And yet we know you, O God. You created us. You gave us life. You set a rainbow in the sky as a sign of hope for us. You set us free when we were enslaved. So we beg you, we beseech you, to do your life-giving acts once more. We beg you, O God, to show us manna from heaven once more, water from a rock once more. We need you to hear us, we need you to respond to us, and we need you to fill us with your bread, your meat, and your life-saving water. Hear us and respond, O God, so we shall know and so we shall see. For this wilderness is vast and hot and blinding. Grant us this, O God, and we will draw near to you. And as a people, we will praise you. And we will teach our children, O God, that you gave us life, that you put the rainbow in the sky, that you led us out of slavery, that you gave us freedom, that you filled our hungry bellies, and that you gave drink to our parched mouths. And we will worship you and praise you forever and ever. For we are your people, and we are here in the wilderness. And your answer and your actions shall give us life again. Amen.